You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Kyle.
Knock out some three counts.
Fuck you, Tony. Stop stealing my shit.
Welcome to a new episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. Fuck you for stealing my shit. apparently, this is episode one of that show. No, this is Knockouts and Three Counts.
This is a special episode, okay?
And why is it? What?
Because we gave it a new title today. But
is my mic good? Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't hear myself. All right, but why is this a special episode?
Well, we gave it a new title, but also because we got a special guest in the studio with us, the mysterious Movado. How you doing, bro?
Ooh, yeah. Good, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
We're chilling.
But let's go through and do all our introductions.
Roll call.
On the phone, who you got? Who?
It's me, Tony Thunder.
Is it just Tony Thunder or Tony motherfucking Thunder?
Oh, man, it's Tony motherfucking sister fucking cousin fucking hot fucking Thunder.
Well, all right,
y'all know y'all can find me on social medias. On Facebook, I'm Tony Thunder. Tony Thunder on Instagram, Tony_Thunder. And the Tony Thunder on Twitter, because let's not get into that anymore.
All right. Anything you need to plug, sir? Got a wrestling match coming up? Got to set up a ring somewhere?
This Sunday, I will be in Benton Harbor in the middle of the mall where the jewelry at, where the fake jewelry, where the rappers go and get their chains and necklaces and stuff. We're going to have a ring right there, and you can come and see it. And I'm going to be kicking people in the face, and I'm going to slap my leg when I do it like this. And I'm going to kick them twice, and I'm going to be like this. And it's going down.
Please don't fuck your elbows up this time.
Benton Harbor Mall, the Apple Orchard Mall, I think it's called.
Apple Orchard.
PWK will be there.
All right. Hey, how's your elbows, man?
I can reach my ass. I can wipe my ass. I'm like maybe a good day or two away from doing a push-up once again. For those of you who are listening who haven't heard, it's been 3 weeks now. I went to do a suicide dive and came down bad on my elbow due to somebody not doing what they were supposed to do and catching me. Break down that wall right there. Popped both my elbows for the first couple of days. I couldn't feed myself or wipe my ass. Kyle thought it was hilarious that I looked like Zorak from Space Ghost Coast to Ghost. But I'm doing better. Things are getting good. And, yeah, man, it's only getting better. The only thing that heals everything is time.
Oh, I thought he was going to say alcohol, but yeah. Kyle, just got all your stuff out there, man. Anything we got coming up?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison. And, I don't got anything going on right now, but I'm going to be at the Ula Lucha show May 5th, though.
Yeah, so we'll definitely jump into that. And I am Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. Hey, I like that.
Oh, you need a car?
Well, yeah, if you need a car, here we go. If you need a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you check out their inventory, once you go in there, use the reference code 19309, and you'll receive $500 off of your purchase. Once again, boom, that reference code is
19309.
1939. All right. See, from now on, we're going to mute everybody's microphone when we do that.
Apparently.
And real quick, when you guys get a chance, after you listen to our show, check out the Why Not Sports podcast. I was just on there this past week talking a little bit of wrestling and Detroit sports with my man D. Murph. Go ahead and check him out. Like I said, once again, the show is called Why Not Sports with D. Murph. So go ahead and check that out. All right. All that bullshit out of the way. We got the man of the hour, the man from Planet Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
The baddest motherfucker in a mask.
Ooh. Flattery will get you everywhere. You don't say.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mysterious Movado. Welcome to the show, sir.
Whoa. Hello, my favorite humans of podcast land.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and throw out all your social media and anything you got coming up, sir?
Ooh, the media of social. Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at PNU number 2. That's right. the letters BNU spelled out number NUMBER and the number 2. Isn't that like really hard? It should just be at Mysterious Movado, like my Instagram. So hit me up on my Instagram at Mysterious Movado. And of course on the Facebook, the Mysterious Movado. Pro Wrestling Tees, the Mysterious Movado. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to hear from you. Hit me up. I'm very interactive with all my human fans.
Yes, sir.
So
wait, yeah. So real quick. Did someone take your Twitter handle?
No. You know what? No, I don't believe so. It's just I've
had. I thought you knew the story to that.
You know, with BNU number 1 and BNU number 2, that was with my Bumpin' Uglies tag team. Okay. And so my partner and I have always had those handles. And so, you know, the name on there is Mysterious Movado, but,
okay,
you know, the actual handle is at BNU number 2.
I was about to say, it sounds like, I thought if someone had your Twitter handle, we could have had a tag team match, you and Tony Thunder,
right,
versus the people that had
the social media social match media of the millennia in one corner.
That's what it should be.
Well, real quick, before we go any further, I got to make a little costume change. Hold on real quick for those of y'all watching on camera. Hold on. Let me get this out.
Oh, he's taking off the barbecue hat.
Yeah, he's so good.
Had to get that nice Mysterious Movado hat. Where can I get this hat, sir?
Man.
Ooh, you can get this. I tell you what, there's only 5 remaining in existence.
Really?
5. They've all been sold out, but 5.
Wow.
So really at live events, the next couple of events that I'll be at, and that's going to be your last opportunity.
Oh, man. So what was that?
Those hats are dope. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Ah, thank you, sir.
I know. So much I had to buy one myself, man. But what was the inspiration for the hat, man? Just, you know, different ideas, you know?
My friends down in Mexico with Chilanga Mask, really, it was actually quite a nice surprise. It was a situation where those were made without my knowledge.
Really?
And a deal was worked out, and some other things had been ordered for merchandise, and then those came, and I was like, wow, what? I was like, what? Look at those. I'm like, what is that? And it's been kind of one of those, like, things where I didn't ask for them, but it's been really cool because it's just a different item. And, you know, a lot of kids and different people have been excited about it that do wear hats. I don't. I'm a mask guy.
Right.
I don't wear the hats as much, but it's a lot of fun to have just some different items, and they're unique and they're very limited in number. So yeah, if you're lucky enough, you might catch one at Ooh La La Lucha coming up here May 5th, St. Andrews Hall.
You want to jump into that real quick, Kyle?
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Lex.
You're going to face Sam Adonis, man. Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
The dastardly Sam Adonis. I'll tell you what, that peril. Okay, so last year, Ooh La La Lucha, let's rewind. Back then, 2017, with the help of the Border Patrol, through various amounts of cheating and chicanery, Sam Adonis, sweet Sam Adonis, became the Ooh La La Lucha heavyweight champion when he procured it through cheating.
And, you bastard.
And I, the mysterious one, was left laying in the middle of the ring. So it's been a very long year. It's been a road of kind of comeback, been looking inward, a lot of introspection to see what I can do to come back, capture this title, and bring it back down to Mexico. He's actually had it in Mexico since he's won it. And strangely enough, ever since I've been trying to book my travel, it's been blocked for some reason, and I keep being told it's some kind of government thing, and I just can't help but thinking that, you know, Sam Adonis has friends in high places, as you all know.
He's running scared.
With his affiliation with the administration, and that's a lot of Asians. And so all I have to say about that is that finally, I worked my way around his loopholes and his red tape, and I am finally going back down to Mexico. So the goal is to kind of surrender him in front of my humans of Detroit, in front of my home area, if you will, my current home installation. This is my home planet as of now, right? It's my adopted home planet in Detroit.
Welcome.
St. Andrews Hall holds a lot of meaning for me. So to be able to be in a matchup of that caliber for the title, with somebody on the level of Sam Adonis, with all that he's put me through, there's going to be a lot of emotion involved, and I'm looking very much forward to some retribution.
Nice. I mean, we've seen you take on the likes of, you know, Sam Adonis, Jock Sampson, even guys like Buddy Hanlon. But have you ever went against food?
Oddly enough, yes. I have gone against food. Yeah, years ago we did an appearance for Man vs. Food on Travel Channel. That was a lot of fun. That was an interesting experience. Now, the reason – I will tell you this. The reason why food won, and it was not just the mysterious one. We had – it was like 40 other – well, it was a team of 40 people in total that were taking down this giant world's largest hamburger.
Okay.
And I think it was – I think it was like 200 pounds or something like that. And so when you have to make a hamburger patty of that size, it's basically disgusting.
It looks like it.
It's so gross.
Like bacon.
Yeah. I mean, so the place where it was at was delicious. Like you were smelling all these hamburgers coming out and it's like, ooh, this is nice. But we're saving ourselves for this challenge, right?
Right.
And then when it came time to eat this stuff, it's garbage. Absolute garbage. So sorry to break down that wall. So sorry, Tony Thunder. We're just breaking walls down here, bro. But it was a great experience. I mean, you know, you got to kind of see how the show was run and got some moments and some screen exposure there, which was really cool. I still have people that, you know, contact me. They rerun it, you know, all the time.
Right.
And they say that they saw us on there, which was pretty cool. But yeah, food did win in that occasion. We were not able to tackle – that entire 200-pound burger in the allotted time. I think we were still 20-some pounds away.
Wow.
But, yeah, we gave it a go.
That's a lot of fucking burger, dude.
It's a lot. A lot of disgusting burger, yes.
But, you know, you were talking about you're going to face Sam Adonis at Ula Lucha, but you're also, like you said, been looking to make your trip over to Mexico.
Right.
You're going to be wrestling for Chilanga Mask and going to be facing him over there.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, like, Sam Adonis has gotten himself quite the name over there. And for those of you who don't know, he's also the brother of WWE commentator Corey Graves as well.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about, like, his star over there, being that he's from here in America, because I've heard a lot of things.
Well, Sam Adonis and I go back a long time, actually, when the Bumpin' Uglies as a tag team were traveling out to northern Pennsylvania for a promotion called Far North Wrestling.
Okay.
Which was – Corey Graves was known as Sterling James Keenan back on the Independence. So, you know, we were used to traveling out there, you know, Keenan coming into our territory as well back and forth. And we developed a relationship with the family. And the dad ran the promotion, Far North Wrestling, FNW. And we had some great matches out there and some great times. And we remember a young kid who was pretty chubby, just kind of, you know, goofy – hanging around the locker room, and which was, you know, Corey Graves' brother.
Yeah.
And it's like, who is this guy, right? And then later on down the road, all of a sudden, you see this pro wrestler. I was floored when I saw what he had become. And I will say this, as much as I do not respect his tactics and his cheating and all the different things. I may not agree with him,
right,
but I absolutely respect the fact that he 1,000% is chasing his dreams, and they've become a reality down in Mexico with CMLL. He's traveled to Japan. He's traveled all over the world. You know, he's put himself in excellent condition, and he's super marketable, super charismatic, and really has all the pieces that you want to be able to do what we do, you know, to present a quality matchup for the fans. So, like I said, I don't respect his tactics necessarily, but he's come a long way, and he, you know, to be able to move to Mexico and take that leap and immerse yourself into that culture, it takes a lot, you know? So I'll never, ever take that away from him. And always give him the utmost respect for what he's been able to do. And he's definitely, you know, doing his family and, you know, the area of Pennsylvania proud, you know, definitely by what he's doing all over the world. So I think he's taken Ultimo Dragon's mask off a bunch of times now. And,
Damn, you know,
he's worked these feuds with, you know, Blue Panther and Negro Casas. And, you know, I mean, he's worked with Atlantis. And it's just the names just go on and all the different experiences that, that this guy has been able to kind of add into his repertoire is pretty amazing. So even – even as Ooh La La heavyweight champion, it is in a way bittersweet because I do like the fact that the championship is being represented in some of the larger companies and on some of the larger shows. You see photograph and video of him wearing the title, which is great.
Right.
But bittersweet in terms of that should be me.
For sure.
That should be me down there. And again, with the, you know, with my travel being blocked and the different situations that has come up with trying to get to Mexico up until this point and basically being blocked, it's definitely a bittersweet situation. I'm happy for the brand because I, as an ambassador of Ooh La La Lucha, I want to see the brand grow.
Okay.
And that's what's happening. But again, I need to be the one to carry that torch. And so that's been my motivation, you know, for the past year.
So you're coming for what's yours, in other words.
That's exactly right. I'm working for what I lost.
So
absolutely.
Oh, go ahead, Tony.
Oh, I was about to say, speaking of things coming up, I know you have a lot of things that you plan on doing and you plan on accomplishing. How far are you from reaching that level one trainer and being in DDP yoga?
Well, you know what? That's one of the things that has actually been sacrificed, just to be 1,000% upfront. So I kind of hit pause on that for the winter time. And it's something that's just now I'm getting ramped up again. So I've started my morning classes back up at the House of Truth at, you know, 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, just basically for any of my friends and inside people, you know, that can make it at that time. I'm not necessarily taking anyone from the public, but, you know, so just doing that so I can get my hours back together, I can get my practice back together with instruction, do the filming necessary and all the different, you know, aspects. So I'm fired up now. My mentor, Brian Duren, went out to the DDP yoga retreat and it totally fired him up, which in turn now is kind of rubbing off, which I really like, the fact that he can kind of renew and get going again. And so can I. And so we all do that, I think, you know, as beings, there are times where we're fired up and super focused on one thing. And then there are times where, unfortunately, like with what happened here, I had four other things I was focusing on. And unfortunately, that took a backseat for a moment. But that's a good question. It's something that I'm definitely still working on accomplishing for this year.
Nice.
Well, a question I had was, we were just talking about Corey Graves. And we've talked before about other people that you've worked with in the past. Especially in the case of a Corey Graves, you know, you worked with him and, you know, you've seen him, and to see him get to the level that he's at now, even though he's not wrestling anymore, he's probably the hottest commentator in the business right now. What is it like seeing a guy, you know, at the independent level and then to see that person, you know, move on to the big show and have so much success?
It's basically the coolest thing ever. Really. It really is. I mean, and Sam actually tweeted something out in this regard not too long ago, prior to WrestleMania, talking about, you know, he's made it further as a non-in-ring, quote-unquote, talent.
Right.
Than perhaps he may have as an in-ring talent.
And as actually and who one knows? Of the questions I was going to ask you.
Like, and
you
who think, knows, yeah. Right? Who knows? Right. I mean, maybe that could or could not be true. But he, like you said, is the hottest commodity. I mean, he is killing it.
Right.
He's crushing it. And he's so good at what he does. And he presents kind of a whole new face and, you know, a hybrid style, I think, that people just are attracted to in terms of the way that he calls the matches.
Right.
He's great with being able to push storylines along. And I mean, that comes from having that inside knowledge of working for so long. I mean, make no mistake about it, he worked around the world prior to him getting to NXT.
Right.
All the way around the world. He was so well traveled. So when you have that level of experience, it's like you just draw from that in every single thing you do, whether that be as a referee, whether that be as a commentator, whether that be as an agent backstage, right?
Right.
I think that all of those, like, it just makes you, like, in terms of Jimmy Jacobs, right?
Right.
You look at what a success he was as a writer prior to the unceremonious firing, but he created some of the coolest moments with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens friendship. And all these things. Everyone knows about it, but like, how crazy is that people know about that?
Right.
Because he was a pro wrestler prior.
Well, now he's
or is still a pro wrestler, still, but I'm saying still, was prior as well.
I mean, and he's – and the cool thing with a guy like him, dude, is he's, like, killing it in all aspects. Like, I mean, he's back out there with the past guest of the show for us, Congo Kong.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's killing it.
Yep. And a manager role. For him, sure. Too. So good, right? I mean, everything he does – I'm, of course, I'm biased because we go back for so many years.
Right.
But I just love everything the guy does. I think he's so super talented. So anytime I get a chance to sit down and talk with him and bend his ear, get a little bit of feedback, I do that, which is, you know, it's very important to do that anytime you can. You know, with someone that has the experience in major companies, to be able to hear what's going on and what their thought process is huge.
Well, speaking of that, you know, you said this is going to be your first trip over to Mexico. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what that means for you to go over to Mexico and, like, what you, you know – what you're hoping to accomplish going out there in Mexico and going forward.
So it's really ever since we got involved in Revolucha prior, you know, when IWR became Revolucha, which was like 2005, and we started to work with these guys, bringing them in and just kind of being a little bit more. I mean, we've always been fans of the culture and, you know, fans of the mask and fans of luchadors in general. But like ever since working with them, it just kind of created this whole sense of now it's necessary to go down and to – I believe it's rite of passage really for wrestlers. Not even necessarily a mass wrestler, but just a pro wrestler period, you know, to make it through those experiences and, like we talked about, kind of immerse yourself in it. So the fact that I'm going to be down there for, you know, 10 days – and I've got multiple shows. I mean, I don't know that I could be looking forward to it anymore. I know it's words. It's hard for me to describe it. So I don't know that I sound properly excited, but I'm so excited because it's something that I've worked very hard towards, and I finally have, some support and some steam behind me, so that I can. And with my goal so that I can expand the brand, right? And kind of bring the whole act, bring the Mysterious Movado out further into planet Earth. I need to get into other countries and into other territories and to expose more people to the fun and the mystery of the alien earthworm, right? I feel like the more people that I can connect with, the more fun we all can have, right?
Right.
So not even just selfish like with me, but like with everyone, we can all party.
For sure.
Right.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was about to say, speaking of other countries and, you know, the alien that has taken over what is the Great Movado, have you ever been to another country or has the alien, you know, traveled to other countries before coming to you? Because you were once from Berlin, Germany, right?
Well, originally in my earth form, sure, when I started out in pro wrestling, absolutely, yeah, Berlin, Germany. Felix von Jägermeister, taking it back. Just a callback to that first interview. No, that was good, man. I like that. No, but I mean, as Mysterious Movado, Canada, I travel to Canada quite often in the Toronto and the Windsor area. So Ontario, Canada has been very kind to the Mysterious One. And
you were just in Toronto last weekend, right?
I was on Saturday, yeah, for Demand Lucha. Excellent show, excellent production, really wonderful fans. Everyone is so kind and supportive that I just love Toronto. It's such a clean and fun, vibrant city, and there's just so much going on. And people are very appreciative of any kind of, you know, creative art form. And with what we do, it's very physical, but it's also a very creative art form, I feel. So people are very supportive of it in that area. And they tend to buy a lot of merch, which I love.
That's always
good. I love that. So, no, we love – and my heart is with Toronto, by the way, with all this insane
business that's going on with people just deciding that it's okay to run into people. It's a sad, sad situation, but just definitely want to send my heart out there.
What were you going to say, Tony?
I was going to ask, speaking of, you know, art and the origin story of how you developed this character and where it comes from, can we look forward to any art or anything that would depict your origin story or anything like that coming up?
Well, funny you should mention that. It's almost like you are leading me into the next thing. So on Saturday, May 5th, from noon to 3, The Mysterious One, yes, myself, I will be making a very special appearance at Comics and More in Madison Heights. Ooh. And we will be debuting a very special, only for Free Comic Book Day, a very special preview edition of the Mysterious Movado comic book from Top Rope Comics. So it's going to be their first title, and I'm excited to be working with them and Tony Miello. Working with me to kind of bring some of this origin story to life. And it's not going to be 100% rooted in the reality of maybe connection with my human form.
Right.
But, you know, as many things, obviously in comic books and films, you know, of course they're exaggerated and things like that, but it's based on that. So it's finally, it's going to be cool because people will be able to have that picture in their mind of basically how it came to be and how I came to be on planet Earth. So I'm really excited for that. I'm a big fan of comics and graphic novels in general, like when I was a young earthling prior to being taken over. So I was a big fan of Batman and Wolverine, that kind of thing. So I'm just really looking forward to kind of seeing what they do with it. I've seen some test shots or not shots, but some test drawings and some illustrations of some of the monsters. And there's definitely some cool ancient Aztec dimensions that are touched on. Okay. And I'm excited. You're going to hear excited a lot in this interview.
Hey man,
wait, nothing wrong with that. Where's the swear jar for excited? Ding. Hold on. Wait. Excited. So excited again. He dropped his water again.
So where was this preview again, and what date and what time is that?
So prior to Ooh La La Lucha on Saturday, May 5th, so not this weekend but next weekend, okay. Comics and More, which is on John R., actually I believe near 12 Mile.
Okay.
And Comics and More is an awesome establishment headed by Chris Brown, and no, not that Chris Brown.
Oh, okay.
the much cooler, real Chris Brown who represents and a good friend of mine for many years. And yeah, so we're going to be there from noon to 3. I'll be signing the special preview edition. So this is actually to kick off what will eventually be a long form graphic novel. We're going to do a kickstart type of a situation for it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be that or a GoFundMe, something to that. But we're going to offer some cool stuff. We're not just going to ask for money. It's going to be really inclusive so that we can bring the full, you know, I don't know how many pages, but a full version fleshed out. So we'll have, I think it's going to be 6 to 8 pages, something like that, to whet your whistle and to kind of get things explained away. And I'm excited. Again, ding.
Hey, Tony, I'm not going to steal your question, but I want to kind of update the list that we've made. Movado was one of the first people that we had on this show, and we kind of started making the list, and it started with you about, you know, wrestler etiquette or, you know, rules and stuff like that. So
okay.
I kind of wanted to update you on the list and see if you wanted to, what did you feel about the things that we've added to it, if you want to add something else.
Sure. So, that's fun.
So, Tony, you remember all the things that are on that list?
I think it was Humor Tornado who said, I keep your baby mamas and kids out the locker room.
Love it.
There was Congo Kong who said to wash your balls.
Shaking hands.
There was someone else. Tally Prince, Salim Aerocrat said to make sure you wash your gear before every show. And I think that's all we have. Well, of course, the obvious shake everyone's hand, but I think that's all we have so far.
What did Shane Taylor say?
Oh, what was his? I think he elaborated on one because not everybody adds to the list. Some guys just elaborate on
it. Yeah, I don't think I even added to it. I think I just kind of talked in general.
Yeah. But anything you would want to add to the list on there?
Let's see. Take a look at the amount of space that's available for merchandise sales, and don't assume that if there's one table that it's all yours. You know, don't you know, look at who's on the event, look at who's selling merchandise. And, you know, I got a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of stuff. Like, there's multiple T-shirts, and there's multiple 8x10s, and there's multiple stickers, and then there's the hats, and then there's the masks, and the yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So if I wanted to, you could make that look huge. I could put that on a giant buffet table, but why would I do that and then take everyone's room up? So lately, I've been seeing a lot of, you know, kind of the big fish and the small pond guys.
Right.
All of a sudden, they got merch, but yet they don't have any money to actually work out or look like better themselves in the ring. Sorry to sound like a bitter old guy. but it's a lot of what's happening is you're putting the cart before the horse. And you know what? You got to look at your place on the card and say, like, all right, there's other people here that are selling merchandise. Maybe I don't need to lay out, you know, all four of my 8x10s. And all three of my T-shirt designs separately. Like, you know, there's ways to do it. You got to stack it up,
right?
And move and be efficient with your space. You know, everyone's trying to accomplish the same thing, and it's called common courtesy. So in terms of etiquette, you know, that have common courtesy with in terms of how you deal with merch. Also, don't assume that if someone else has someone there to sell their merchandise. Let's say a lot of times a wife or a girlfriend or a friend of theirs that they brought with them to the show to help sell their merchandise.
Right.
Never just assume that they're about to sell yours too. And that's another thing that's been it's been frosting my tuchus is when these guys, they come up to my friends or people I care about. And they say to them, T-shirts are 15, you know, yeah, that's all I got because I'm lame. But T-shirts are 15, these really horrible 8x10s are 5. And just walk away. And then the people look at me like, I guess I'm selling this now, right? So come on, guys. Let's have a little bit of common courtesy, right? So there's locker room etiquette, but there's such a thing as, you know, using common courtesy in real life and applying it in the locker room.
Absolutely.
You like that one, Tony?
I love that one. Yeah. I've actually had a similar experience kind of happen to me not too long ago. So, like, that just kind of put everything into perspective of something that I was trying to tell somebody. I don't want to put any names out there, but that kind of happened to me recently.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, no need to put the names out. Because honestly, the way I look at that is those people will be found out in other ways. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to out them. They'll be found
right.
out. Oh, yeah. It'll happen. Yeah.
Well, tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and then
break it.
And we can name names during the break. How about that?
Oh, I'm going to dish. Don't get me started.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have more with the mysterious Mavato.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We are back. And once again, we have the baddest motherfucker in the mask. The mysterious Mavato.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Dynamic.
Yes. Wow.
Yes, sir.
What
so
an intro.
So we were kind of joking off air. Hey, you got any more shit you need to get in?
Let me cram these spots in, brother.
Shit in.
Yeah, get that shine in, brah. Don't be cutting me short. Be eating me up over here. No, you know, like I said, we really the big thing, the big focus right now is Ooh La La Lucha for me. We get your tickets because they will be sold out in advance. There are only 650 tickets that are made available for the event with the configuration of the building at St. Andrews Hall. We are currently, I believe, over 400 tickets sold. So get your tickets now. The best way to get your tickets without having to pay the exorbitant fees to visit the Imperial or Public House in Ferndale. Okay. So those great fine establishments, which actually put on the Ooh La La Lucha events, is where you can get those tickets for $40 right now. So that's the pre-sale price, and it's again, I don't want to wait till it's general admission. Don't wait till day of the show, because they are probably this is not a shill like to try and like a tactic, but are just telling my friends here that are to get them now because they will probably not be available on the day of the show. But we're looking forward to a packed house, sold out, big, you know, something that we're going to present that's going to have that authentic Lucha Libre feel. We've got, you know, nine names that we're bringing in from Mexico alone.
Wow.
So this year's event is going to be huge. The Detroit Cobras are playing. We've got some incredible burlesque and some incredible talents that are going to be there throughout the evening. And I could just tell you, we've already, you know, been meeting about putting the pacing together and the different matches. And it's wild. It's going to be an incredible event from top to bottom. And then, of course, you know, after that, then, you know, I've got some things that are exciting in Ohio, you know, with live pro wrestling. And then, of course, be headed out to Mexico, which is my next main focus. So between Ooh La La and Chilanga Mask, fifth anniversario and the different events that I'm working down in Mexico, that's really 1,000% my focus with this comic book coming out and just expanding the brand, trying to hit up every opportunity I can to bring the Mysterious Movado to a city near you.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So I've got like one question that I don't know how far deep you can get into it, but as far as putting on a show, let's just say some young people wanted to put on a show, one-time show, right?
Let's say it's called Festivus.
Let me talk you out of it right now. No, go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're saying talk us out of it. Like, as far as like putting it together and what to look out for and pretty much can we make money? Or I mean, let me just say, it's not necessarily something that these people, we're not going to name any names, are thinking about putting this together, not necessarily looking to make money, maybe at best, you know, break even, but it's just something that these guys want to do for fun. It was an idea that was kicked around. We kind of realized that it could be done. And so what advice would you give some young, up-and-coming, inexperienced wrestling promoters?
Well, I've run events for a number of years now, and it's a lot more fun to run a successful event than it is an unsuccessful event. So I would tell people to run successful events. Isn't that good? That's pretty good. No, specifically though, I mean, there's a lot. This could be a whole nother podcast, bro. Like,
what?
Bro.
Let's run with it for a little while.
The idea is if you have the budget for the proper advertising, if you are in the proper market with the right demographic, if you're offering a product that can cross over and that maybe isn't necessarily only for a wrestling fan, but also is something that a member of the general public could get down with. That's just from my point of view is kind of been the general outline of a recipe for success. So when you can work with somebody that you can coordinate a kind of a media attack with,
right.
Whether that is, you know, print advertising, which is not as, you know, big now as it used to be, of course, it still does matter within the major urban areas and the cities, you know, definitely like having the Metro Times out there and pushing the event definitely helps. And
right.
When you are heard on, you know, major radio, if there's any kind of TV exposure, those are really some of the secrets. And then you want to be able to offer a product that, again, looks captivating, right? Something that is eye-catching and that is professional.
Right.
So when you bring something that looks and has the appearance of you know, just jaw-dropping production, then all of a sudden it's the coolest thing ever and people want to be a part of it. So I know that's like a lot. It's not very specific.
Right.
But, you know, I used to run events in bowling alleys, and some of them were like, quote unquote, standing room only. You know what I mean? Like sold out, and we had enough money to pay everyone. And I didn't really have money left over, but I might have had $20 at the end of the night to buy pizza with.
Right.
That kind of thing. And then we've, you know, had events where it was, you know, wildly successful and sold out and, you know, some of the biggest gates that you've seen in terms of an independent, you know, show around here. So, when you have the right team behind you, that's, you really have to be smart enough to know that you don't know everything. So
right.
You should definitely seek out people that have been there, have done it, and not even necessarily wrestling promoters as much as maybe event promoters or other people that are in entertainment that have had a track record of success with running events, right?
Right.
Because I think too often in pro wrestling, especially indie wrestling, there's this bubble. And so everyone thinks like if you don't use a promoter and have them involved in your vision, then you're not going to be accepted or whatever it is. Well, the truth of the matter is if you don't necessarily need to be a wrestler to run an event.
Right.
All right. And in fact, I prefer it when you're not. I like when someone is smart enough to not, you know, be in that situation. Right. So basically, I know that sounds hypocritical.
That kind of makes sense. Like have them take care of all the event stuff and have you as the wrestler take care of the wrestling stuff.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah, you want a good team like behind you, you know, because like that's when you can just do your own thing and you don't have to, you know, necessarily worry and put everything on yourself.
Right.
So that would be the one thing, because I used to really get stressed out when I would put so much of promoting the events on myself, and a lot of it was on me.
Right.
And it caused a lot of stress and a lot of stress eating. And weight gain, for sure, you know. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess long story short would be don't. But if you – like I was talking about, if you put together something that's professional and then the people that you hire to work the event are all on the level, you're on the level. I mean that's as simple as that. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, this guy, you know, is an outsider and no one can ever, you know, listen. Guys in pro wrestling and indie wrestling especially are whores. Whores, right?
Okay.
We'll work for anybody. Anybody. Doesn't matter if you hate the guy. You'll work for him. That's just the way these guys are. You know, they'll take it and then they'll talk about them behind their back, unfortunately, right? But I don't do that, but that I'll tell them to their face. But you know, these are thumbs the brakes, kids.
Okay. Well, one last question about that. I've heard that typically, if you're booking talent, more than likely getting, and I don't know if this is a politically correct term, but midgets and women are going to be your more expensive talents. You think?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they traditionally speaking. Those talents will come at a premium cost, as well as anyone that has been on TV,
right,
and a national product, or even nowadays with how cool indie wrestling has become, there are a small percentage of guys that are on the indies that are quote unquote, you know, indie names,
right,
that while not as expensive as a TV guy, are definitely more expensive because you have to take care of travel and all these things,
right,
than your local guys. So that is true. Okay. It's definitely true. You can't expect to pay typically a lady wrestler, a woman's wrestler, or a smaller person the same type of fee.
Right.
They do generally get you know, it's kind of like porn. I hate to be like so crass about it. Normally I'm family friendly, but when you think about it like that, like, you know, that's what commands a higher price.
Exactly.
The guys, right? There's a thousand wieners out there, right? You know, so it's and no one's really dying for that. You know? Right. So that's why the women are the ones who are in control of that situation, right?
Okay.
So I don't know if that's politically correct either, but.
So in other words, fellas, it's going to cost me a lot of money to get Kiera Hogan on that show. But
right.
But Tony, you got any last things before we move on to some of the national stuff, the WWE stuff?
I mean, I was going to take him back a little bit more. You know, I wanted to know about his experience, you know, when he first started in the business, because he kind of came in, you know, hot from what I know about him. Came in going against guys like, Necro Butcher and Madman Pondo. I just wanted to know what it was like coming in, working with guys who had been here for so long, and, you know, how was the learning experience to get to learn from those kind of guys?
Thank you. It was pretty cool, man. Like, when our whole experience was coming out of the punk rock scene, and we had started to use Madman Pondo. We befriended Madman Pondo and, you know, started to use him in our stage shows. And then Necro Butcher kind of moved to the area where he would travel with Pondo. He previously had been in Texas. So all of a sudden, you know, these guys were available, and we were involving them in our stage show with the band. So it kind of just became a natural extension that when we started wrestling more as a tag team, that we were facing a lot of these guys, and, you know, a lot of what we were doing on stage in the punk rock type of situation was very much the hardcore. So it worked, with a Necro Butcher and a Madman Pondo, a lot of blood, you know, thumbtacks and glass and tables, flaming tables. And
I was about to say, I've heard stories about your guys flaming tables while you guys were performing.
Right. And I mean, the whole band would be involved too. Like, don't get it twisted. It was like Amato and Rob would be getting put through tables, and then we'd be like making the save. And then like the antagonists, we would be lighting on fire accidentally, and or they'd be getting cut up by barbed wire and having to get sent to the hospital. I mean, like, these are things that happen. I'm not just making it up, you know?
Well, I've heard about it.
So it was interesting. Like, it's in one way it's the same. It's working. You're working a match. It's wrestling, and you're evoking those emotions, and you're telling a story. But it is. It's on a different level. When you're getting wild like that with these weapons, it's something you definitely have to be careful with. And when I was younger, you know, we had a bit of that Superman syndrome. Like, you can't hurt us, you know. We're the fucking bumping uglies. Like, you know, it's like we said in, like, the Legend of Mick Foley, one of the songs we wrote, it's like, tables, tacks, and chairs, I'll take any fucking bump. And that was, you know, we really adopted that mentality just from our fandom, right, you know, of these guys that we were watching and then became friends with. So having, like, those matches with those guys in our formative years kind of really helped, you know, put us on the map and give us a rub and establish us as, instead of just two fat guys in a go nowhere band, like, actually gave us a little bit of legitimacy and kind of start, you know, to our tag team career. So it was huge working with those guys.
Nice. And I think, you know, we are running a long time since Devin asked me if I had one more question. I'll just throw one more in there if I can. Get my shit in.
Get your shit in, man.
Cram it in.
I know you've mentioned your band a few times, and seeing that you're a man of many talents, have you ever showed your talents to America?
And America's Got Talent. Is it? Well, you're good with that. Yeah.
Damn.
On America's Got Talent, you would have seen the mysterious Movado in there somewhere, and it's mysterious. Can you spot the mysterious one? in the skit. That was season 8, actually. We were involved in a pro wrestling skit there. It was really cool. Couple of bumping uglies as the bad guys there. And we had a kind of a whole team, and a wrestling baby was involved, and, you know, cake and a giant present. And it was cool because, you know, having that experience prior with the Man versus Food, and then now this was an NBC production, so it's on a whole, like, higher level. There were so many producers running around, and just, like, standing around and having Heidi Klum and Howard Stern and, you know, Mel B and Howie Mandel just like right next to you, hanging out, asking you questions about what it is you'll be doing is, it's super rad. Like, you know, not to quote unquote mark out.
I got
to
look that shit up, dude. I didn't see it.
Yeah, look that up. But yeah, they showed us, of course, you know, we were X'd pretty soundly, pretty quickly. But it's a cool situation, you know, like we were booked for the event. So, I mean, hopefully I'm not giving too much away with that show, but, you know, it's not a situation where, like, you know, we were like, gee, let's bring this to America's Got Talent. We had this idea that maybe they would like it. And, you know, it was actually a situation where I got a phone call saying, hey, would you come out and would you show this to us? And we were like, yeah. For sure, we could do something. Oh, no, you don't have a wrestling ring? Sure, we'll bump around on the stage for you. You know, I mean, why not? It's for being shown in front of millions of people. So I think that's when, you know, being professionals, we know how to bump anywhere.
Right.
So, yeah, that was definitely a fun and really kind of a surreal experience to be on the stage at the Rosemont Horizon in front of those thousands of people, you know, doing our goofy shit. And just taking a beating, you know, from all the celebrity judges, which was fun. We knew what we were getting into, you know, so it wasn't anything that like hurt our feelings, but it's so fun to hear them like, you know, diss it. And then in turn, once we were done, that's all they could talk about. So they showed our clip so many more times. So we got so much more mileage than other people who actually went through and then left in the next show.
Right.
Cause they like just do montages of some of those people. Oh, and also that went through, it was this guy and that guy and this guy and this kid. Right. And all of a sudden they're in but they like replayed our whole skit a few times.
Right.
And they were even wrestling backstage. Like Mel and Howie were like in a headlock and they were like, dude, they were so jazzed up and look, they've caused all this trouble. Now we're wrestling. And so little did they know that by like talking shit and dissing it, it was actually putting us over. Right.
Wow. Absolutely.
So it was really cool to be a part of that and to kind of be put over, you know, on national TV like that. So soon, you know, hopefully that's the goal, is to bring this act, you know, to bring the mysterious Movado, this mask, this beautiful face to a television screen, movie screen, any kind of apparatus that you can view things on and feel things on to you.
That's pretty dope, though, dude.
Kyle, you got any more questions before, or you want to jump into some WWE shit?
Yeah, we can jump into WWE shit because that pretty much just took my shit. I'm good. I can't think of nothing else now.
All right. But, well, this not even weekend. It's Friday, early on Friday, man.
At noon. At 12 o'clock noon.
I'll be at work. But the greatest Royal Rumble ever of all time in history would take place.
So they say.
They're replaying Royal Rumble 92?
No. This is even bigger. See, before, the largest Royal Rumble was 40 people, but now we're going to have 50. The 50-man Royal Rumble. I don't even know if this is for anything. I think they're just saying, hey.
They're giving a trophy out.
It's not for anything.
Oh.
I love that.
Yeah, a trophy.
I don't think this is even for anything. What reason is there for this? Why are we even doing this, you guys?
But, like, legit, like, why are they doing this? I'm like, you're not going to give a title match or anything like that? A future, a briefcase or something? I don't know.
I don't know. They're doing a trophy kind of like the Andre the Giant thing, at least from what I saw.
Well, I'm looking forward to – I'm looking That's forward to it. Ding. And we have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in a rematch from WrestleMania. I'm going to run through the card real quick. Seth Rollins defending his Intercontinental title against Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and The Miz.
Oh, hot.
In a ladder match, though.
Yeah, that's huge.
In a ladder match. And Brock and Roman in a cage.
Huge. Yes, sir. AJ Styles versus Nakamura.
Ooh.
So, real quick.
So good.
Please, AJ Styles, man. Listen to me. Bit of advice. Wear a cup. Wear two cups.
Why don't you just wear a steel Muay Thai cup and you'll be all right.
Go talk to Human Tornado.
Maybe
might
he's building up his tolerance. Like, have you ever seen those videos?
Yeah. When
right. Like maybe that's like his gimmick. Like he's like, you know what?
I'm going to grow nuts of steel.
Instead of the phenomenal one, I'm going to show him that I have the phenomenal two down below. There's no way.
We also have Jeff Hardy defending against Jinder Mahal, the United States Championship. We have Bray and Matt versus The Bar for the Raw Tag Team Championship, which is weird because they're on SmackDown now. The Bludgeon Brothers will defend their titles against the Usos. Cedric Alexander will defend his Cruiserweight title against TBD.
Oh, TBD is hot.
Hey,
he's on a roll right now.
That guy's a badass.
Yep. I hope it's my boy Lince Dorado. I'm just putting that out there.
Lince Dorado.
I hope it's my man Lince.
He's really good. I've seen him live.
Hold on, he's fly.
He was wrestling while I was at Exodus.
Yep, there we go. Lince, Lucha House Party.
John Cena will be facing Triple H, and Undertaker will be facing Rusev in a casket match. Real quick, Tony, besides the Royal Rumble itself, what match are you looking forward to most on this card, man?
Oh, man, there's three of them that I'm really looking forward to. But when you ask that, the first one to come to mind was Cena and Triple H, so I'm going to go with that one.
Ooh.
Ooh. Why is that?
Because that's guaranteed.
It's money.
The history of those two guys. Yeah, the money. The money in that match. I mean, I just think those guys both have really bad. What's the word I'm looking for? They have a bad rap with burying guys or whatever, but it couldn't be any more wrong. And since those guys have really been putting over a lot of guys over the years and, you know, making guys really big names from what they've been doing, I want to see what they do with each other. Not only, you know, what they make that caliber of a match, like a big WrestleMania type of thing, but, you know, just seeing who would win that is to me, is that's just what I'm waiting for.
Okay. Kyle, what match right here are you really looking forward to?
I think, obviously, it's going to be cool to see Undertaker with a casket, but if I had to pick one match that I think is going to be badass, I think that ladder match is going to be pretty dope.
Can't go wrong with ladders, man.
I mean, not even just the ladder, but who's in the match, though? I mean, with those guys in that match, I feel like that match is going to be good. Plus, I mean, Shinsuke and AJ says enough.
But Shinsuke! AJ! Nutshot!
From their matches in New Japan. That's like the one fan, when everyone's being quiet, all you hear is,
Shinsuke! AJ!
Yeah.
Well, ironically, that's the match that I'm looking forward to the most. I felt like the two of them.
Gesundheit. Thank you.
I felt like the two of them were having a great match at WrestleMania, even though I was drunk at the time. I had to go back and rewatch it. But I felt like they were having a great match, but I felt like that match never got into the next gear. And hopefully they'll give them the time to actually, you know, put on a match that I think that they wanted to do at WrestleMania. So, Bavaro,
what are your thoughts on this card?
Yes. Are you asking my opinion?
I am asking your opinion. Is there a match on here that you're really looking forward to, sir?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm looking forward to all of it. Because really, from top to bottom, it's solid. It's so stacked. I mean, I know, like, political answer, right? But I will say that The Miz has been doing some of my absolute favorite work.
Uh-oh.
Hell yeah. Thank you, sir. And just, I will say that I am looking forward to anything that he is doing. I'm invested. I think that he is on top of his game. I think that every single thing he's been doing has been gold. And I cannot wait to see what he does, like, on this event and that match with the people involved. I'm sorry. I feel like everything is going to be great on it.
Right.
But I'm really looking forward to sitting down and, like, watching that match.
Tony, okay. Here you go.
All right, Tony, we got to wrap the show up, man, so keep it short. But go ahead. I know you got some shit. Go ahead, man.
No, I actually ain't got nothing, man.
Damn,
I mean,
man.
I don't know why y'all think I see they have this thing where they think I hate The Miz.
No, you don't hate The Miz. You hate Miz fans.
I hate The Miz's fans. I mean, no offense to Mavado at all, you know, because I agree with everything he said. Miz has come a long way in this business. If you look at his work and how far he's come along, you know, on the mic, from stumbling and bumbling to text-tooting their name and all that, to going out there and just, you can tell sometimes he's just going. You know, you see him on social media, he just freestyles and he goes. He's a natural at it. His in-ring work has improved. He's one of the best heels in the business, if not the best heel in the WWE right now. And I agree with everything Mavado says, but when you got these guys out there who overhype The Miz and, you know, I don't get the whole he made the Intercontinental title relevant again. I don't know when the Intercontinental title wasn't relevant. And I don't know how you can make a title relevant by not defending it. But that was my only thing, was fans overhyping him on that aspect. But besides that, I don't have any gripes with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, that's storyline stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that was kind of anticlimactic. So we'll end the show like that.
But the one thing I wanted to touch on with this, and this is something you and I have talked about, I think this card is going to be badass. But my only two gripes, my only gripe with it is, A, like you were talking about, why would you do this after the shakeup? Like, wouldn't it have –
After the shakeup, after Mania.
There's some confusion. I feel like if you would have done it before the shakeup, it would have made more sense, only in that – there would be more, like, especially like with the Bar going to SmackDown. Okay, they're going for the Raw tag team titles.
Right.
I doubt they're going to switch them back. Right. Or like the Jeff Hardy U.S. title match.
Right.
They've already shown they want to keep that on SmackDown. But, I mean, this is going to be a long-ass show, dude.
Sure. Like, when here's going to be like 6 hours.
And odd timing, too. And may I add one more thing?
Go ahead.
So here would be my only gripe. Because I'm, like I said, top to bottom, seems like an insane show. Because of where it's being held and the certain restrictions, I'm a little bit bummed that the women who are doing, you know, boy, there are some phenomenal talent there, and that they're not able to kind of do their thing. It's a little bit of a bummer. I can only hope that maybe next time around, you know, things progress and maybe there's – you know, some movement there in the culture in that area of the world, that we can show that, you know, obviously the women have done some of the coolest work. I thought they were stealing the show.
Dude, Charlotte and Asuka did, for sure.
But anyway, I digress. So that would be, I guess, my only complaint is that we're not getting more as long of a card. Yeah. Is that maybe one of those matches could have been replaced with the women.
Yeah.
So instead of 6 hours, it should be 8 hours.
Wasn't it Saudi Arabia where they had the whole thing with Sasha and Alexa Bliss?
I think that was India.
Okay, yeah, it was India.
But I haven't quite made the progress there in Saudi Arabia.
I was
going to
say, yeah, I know.
We'll get there, guys.
I was going to say, I know it was somewhere they had like the first ever women's match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's going to be dope, though.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably watch the next day, though. No spoilers, timing. Please.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get up out of here. Movado.
Yeah.
Throw your social media out there and plug the show, man.
Yeah. Ooh La La Lucha, May 5th, Saturday, St. Andrews Hall, Detroit, Michigan. The biggest event to come to St. Andrews Hall in professional wrestling since last year's Ooh La La. we are super geeked to present it to you guys. So hit me up on social media, of course, on Facebook, The Mysterious Movado, my fan page. We've got on Twitter at BNU2. That's the number 2 and the letters BNU number. And then you've got at Mysterious Movado. Yeah, right? That makes complete sense. And then at Mysterious Movado on Instagram. Hit me up on that gram. I got Snapchat, but like I never use it.
Yeah.
So you can add me all you want, but I barely ever use it because, you know, I like – then I got to make sure I got my mask and the whole nine yards. And, of course, it's always within reach if it's not on this beautiful face. But
Beautimous.
You know, I mean, look, hit me up on the social media. Like I said, I'm very interactive. I like to talk to my fans and connect with them all over the world. So, yeah.
All right. Make sure you check out ko3cpod.com to get all of our social media. Hey, Tony, real quick, wrestling ring. How do I get one?
Man, rentawrestlering.com. Even though Merle don't listen to the show like he said he does, you can rentawrestlering.com. Is it your birthday? Is it your bar mitzvah? Did somebody die? Is it your cousin's birthday? Is it Jesus' birthday? Is it the resurrection? We don't care. You rentawrestlering.com.
Yep.
Get some guys there. We'll set it up. We'll tear it down like always.
Endorsed by the Mysterious Movado, the rent a wrestling ring. What is it? Rent a pro wrestling ring? Or rentawrestlingring.com. Rentawrestlingring.com is an excellent service. That is the way to go, guys.
Yes, sir. Real quick, show this weekend. Tony.
Oh, Benton Harbor. Come see Tony Thunder do some elbow drops, even though my elbows aren't good. I might turn into a leg drop midair. You never know, unless you're there. We're going to be in the middle of the mall where the fake jewelry is. Come see us.
Kyle, anything you need to plug?
No, not off top, man. You can just find me at Detroit Knockout at Detroit NOKOUT on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook's the same. Check out Reality Era News as well.
Yes, sir. All right. Need a car? Go to SouthfieldQualityCars.com. When you go in there to buy your car, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309.
1939.
And also, make sure you go check out my boy D. Murph's show, Why Not Sports. I was on there talking a little bit of wrestling and MMA. Check him out on all platforms. All that being said,
fuck your couch!
You
ain't stealing my shit this time.
Peace.
We were waiting for it.